Again, we're going to be looking at something that we are very familiar with, but I thought it would be helpful if we look at it again in light of what the Spirit of God gave to the brethren in Colossians in the epistle by Paul. What we have in this address to the church at Laodicea is in direct contrast or opposition to what Paul had presented to them in Colossians. In the book of Colossians, what we have is the preeminence of Christ. We have the sufficiency of Christ. We have everything centered in Christ, in which the brethren were encouraged in that epistle to set their minds on things above where Christ sits. And so 20 to 30 years later, when this letter now appears to Laodicea, and by the way, the reason why we read those verses in Colossians, it's so that we can get that connection. The epistle to Colossians did not only go to the Colossians, but it went to the church at Laodicea. And so the church at Laodicea was being made aware of the same things that the saints of Colossians were being made aware of: the preeminence of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, and the object for the heart and for the believers, for the Christians, is Christ ascended, Christ in glory. So 20 to 30 years later, this epistle now comes to the Laodiceans, and the Lord stands there in the midst of that testimony there, and he gives his review. So what we want to do is look at his presentation as the reviewer, and we can see those connections with what he has presented in Colossians. And then we want to go through the review, and then we want to make sure that we leave time to get to the remediation. We sort of ran out of time in the first session. We didn't really cover the three-step remediation that was given to the Ephesians. The first one was to remember from whence you are fallen, repent, and return to the first works. So we want to leave time, make sure that we have time to look at the remediation that the Lord recommends for the church at Laodicea. So the outline is, in light of what was given to them when they received the epistle to the Colossians, the Lord now comes and he assesses them, and we want to look at them in view of what was presented to them in Colossians. So we start with his presentation. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And we can start there as we look at the Lord's presentation of himself as he writes to them in light of what they already knew, given that they had the epistle to the Colossians.
Presented here, the Lord himself is the Amen. Does that convey that he is the truth, the final word? Everything concludes with the Amen. And the word Amen means truth, the truth. It's used often in the Gospels. The Lord used it, Amen, Amen, or truly, truly. So it's wonderful that he has the final word in relationship to all things.
Thinking of that verse in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, where it has that very thought, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So it's a wonderful statement. It starts with that he is the Amen.
All the promises that God has given are secured in him. He is the Amen. And the other expression, the faithful and true witness, we had mention made of that this morning. In the first chapter, we see him as the faithful witness, with reference to his pathway here. When everything failed here on earth, there was one that the Lord Father, that God could look down upon and see there was a faithful witness. It was faithful, as it were, unto death. Gave testimony to the greatness and glory of God by going to the cross, and there bore witness to the fact that God is holy, that God is absolutely righteous, and that God is love. Now it's added here, the faithful and true witness. That expression, the true witness. Here again we see the church has failed in their witness here in the earth. God looks down, he sees that. But he has one to fall back on, the Lord himself. And there it's not only faithful, but he is true. He bears witness to the fact of what is right and wrong with that church, the problems that are there, the condition that he finds. He is the true witness. He doesn't cover up. He doesn't say, well, I'll just say a little bit. He says it as it is. And in this way, he evaluates each of us in the present day. He looks for reality. And this is here, and that is how he presents himself. And then the beginning of the creation of God. I believe this refers to the new creation here. This is the beginning, the Alpha, the Omega. And there nothing can fail. And what he has laid the basis for new creation, where finally in the end, God will be all in all.
Brother Mark, I'm not sure if this is deviating at all. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the way he presents himself to each of these churches has a bearing with their what he's trying to teach them. Is that correct? The way he presents himself, the specific way in which he presents himself, must have a bearing with what was existing in that church. Maybe somebody can develop that.
I think, Sam, that the way he's presented, or the Spirit presents him, is in contrast to the church on earth.
At
that particular church. Where there's failure there, the head doesn't fail. And so he's presented that way.